All right. Well, we're going to start in Genesis 1, verse 1. If anybody's taking notes, we're gonna go over the topic, Jesus Christ is not God. And the aim today is to build that relationship with God and help others build their relationship with God. This idea of God, Jesus Christ being God, you know, you might have heard of the Trinity. You know, this doctrine started towards the end of the 4th century. I got all this information from Jesus Christ is Not God by Dr. Werewolf. A lot of information about this subject. I'm just going to scratch the surface with you today, but I'm going to share it with you because most likely most people that you encounter believe Jesus Christ is God. So we're going to look at the Word and we're going to look at clear scriptures about this subject. So this whole Trinity idea started with the Roman Emperor Constantine. He, in 325 AD, got all these Christian bishops together to vote on this idea, Jesus Christ being God. And he actually presided over the council and influenced the votes, you know, for political favor, that sort of thing. But this Roman Emperor Constantine converted to Christianity sometime during that century. And then in 381 AD, in Constantinople, another council got together to go over this whole big controversy, is Jesus Christ God or not? And they voted, again, that Jesus Christ is God. But that's not our standard for truth. People and their votes and opinions can't be our standard for truth. It has to be what God, you know, had holy men speak. He spoke to holy men and they wrote down what God wanted them to write. So just to be clear, God is holy, he is spirit. He is the Father of the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a person. He was born, he died for our sins, he got up from the dead, God raised from the dead. You know, so we're going to look at a bunch of clear scriptures today. There are some scriptures that people like to emphasize and just ignore the clear stuff. So we're going to look at the clear stuff because maybe you have a friend that you want to share about this subject with them to help them have a better relationship with God. You can. What else? Oh, also, you know, if I was trying to think of some examples of like how confusing this would be. So let's see. Denise, say I thought you were Denise, and I also thought you were Oprah Winfrey, right? It'd be hard to have a really, truly great relationship with you if I thought you were two different people. Or Tony, if I thought you were, you know, LeBron James, you know. Both are awesome, right? But completely different. You know, Denise, you know, awesome, but completely different from Oprah, you know. So it can be very confusing to actually have a great relationship with someone if you think they're two different things, two different people. Something to keep in mind is there's a biblical principle that we'll look at today. A scripture must be in harmony with all other scriptures relating to the subject. Any difficult portions, whether they would be words or whether they would be verses, must be understood in light of that which is clear. In other words, difficult portions must be understood in light of that which is clear. So we're going to look at the clear stuff today. And if you really want to dig into the unclear stuff that you may have heard over the years about the Trinity, this is a great reference tool to help you with that subject. So let's start in Genesis 1:1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Okay, that's what God did. Let's go to John 4, verse 24. We're going to jump around the Bible today a lot. Most of it will be in sequential order. John 4, 24. You probably already know this, but let's reinforce it. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And speaking of truth, John 17, 17. It says, Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus Christ is talking here. He asked God to sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So if something's true, it's as true as 1 plus 1 is always going to be 2. You know, it's always true. So what we read is what God means. So what it says is what it means. So if we keep that in mind, we'll be able to enjoy what we're reading today. Let's go to Matthew 2, verse 1, a little detail about Jesus Christ here. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews?" So, Jesus Christ just got born here. All right. Let's go to Mark 1. And now we're going to start going in order of the scriptures. Mark 1. Verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, almost forgot. All right. Everybody know the difference between a father and a son? No, this is important. If you get this, you'll be able to follow the whole teaching. Okay, so a father is a parent, a son is a child, right? Both very important in that relationship. Just like a mother is a parent and a daughter is a child. So you're going to see a lot of distinction between those two roles in a lot of these scriptures. You might see God the Father, the Son of God, etc. So if you keep that in mind, it, just like it means in real life, you know, I'm the father of Truman, or, you know, it's going to be the same way in the Bible here. When God refers to himself as the Father and Jesus Christ is the Son of God, those are two completely different roles, just like in real life right here. So let's go to Luke 3. And, you know, it sounds funny, but it's most of the world has it wrong. The cornerstone of most Christian churches and Catholicism, which I was raised in, is Jesus Christ is God, God is God, Holy Spirit is God. Very confusing. But it's confusing because, you know, growing up as a Catholic, we never read the Bible. We just were taught what we were taught, and that's it. We accepted it. But when you go to the Word, believe that it's true, it's very clear that Jesus Christ is not God. And it's... you know, we just want to elevate Jesus Christ to his rightful position and God to his rightful position. So, Luke 3, verse 22. "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age." So, this is 30 years later. He was born 30 years later. But God said he's his beloved son, and he's well pleased with him. Let's go to John 1:18. "No man hath seen God at any time." Wait a minute. Jesus Christ walked the earth. He died for our sins. Somebody had to have seen him. But Jesus Christ is not God. "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Jesus Christ declared God. Let's go to verse 34 here. "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Shoot over to verse 49. This one of the soon-to-be apostles. "Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." You know, Jesus Christ knew he was the Son of God. And so did Nathanael here. Let's go to chapter 3. This is a very popular verse. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So you see that big distinction? God sent his Son. So God is the Father, and He has a Son. There is a difference, and it's very clearly written there. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 68. And it says, Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Very clearly written, Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God there. Chapter 9, verse 35. It's all over the place. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And this is a person that he had healed and got excommunicated, basically. He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Jesus Christ knew he was the Son of God. Let's go to chapter 20, verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Let's go to Acts 8, verse 37. Just going for a walk through the word. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not God the Son, the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So, let's go to Romans 8, I'm sorry, Romans 1, verse 3. So you just got to get over that hump of what's the difference between a father and a son, you know, You can see the difference. It's very easy to read and understand what we're looking at here. Romans 1, verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9. Verse 19, 2 Corinthians 1, 19, and just the first part of the verse, it says, For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us. Just highlighting that Jesus Christ is the Son of God again. Let's go to Galatians 4, and in verse 4, But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God didn't send himself. He could have, but he sent forth his son. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. This should be an easy breezy subject, but religion has clouded the hearts of men and women for over 1,500 centuries. You just got to read the word. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son. There's a distinction again. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Jesus Christ didn't raise himself. God did. Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Jesus Christ did so many cool, awesome things for us. And he even, because of what he did, we're going to be saved from the wrath to come, which is incredible. 1 John, verse 1. I'm sorry, 1 John 1, verse 3. Says, That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and here it comes, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Chapter 5, verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. 2 John 3. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. So you see that, I'm glad we reviewed the difference between a father and a son. Because that could be very confusing. And let's go to 3 John. And this is the heart behind the whole teaching here, is verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. It gives God the greatest joy when we know the truth about His Word, and especially about Himself. I mean, if we think God is Jesus Christ, well, He's not too joyful about that because we're not walking in truth. Let's go to Exodus 20. That's right after Genesis. Genesis, Exodus, chapter 20, verse 1. And this is something God deserves. This is something God desires. He wants to be the only God in our lives. And this is where Moses is presenting the Ten Commandments, you know, that whole thing. Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, and He literally was speaking here off from this mountaintop. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's that important to him. It's his first commandment that he gave to children of Israel here. You know, no other gods before him. That includes Jesus Christ. Let's go to Hebrews 4. Verse 14. Okay. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So just keep your finger here, because we're just going to shoot over to James 1 and verse 13. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Well, we just read in Hebrews 4, verse 15, that Jesus Christ was tempted in all points, yet without sin. And then in James 1, 13, it says, God can't be tempted with evil. So, if you don't know the difference between Jesus Christ and God, that could be very confusing to someone that's just looking to read the Word and get to know God. But now it's very clear. We looked at all those clear verses about Jesus Christ being the Son of God. Now that makes sense. Let's go to John 14, verse 12. This is an amazing thing that we have the ability to do here. John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and this is Jesus Christ talking, the works that I do shall he do also. Well, that sounds great. And then it goes on. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I've seen people healed. I've healed people with prayer, and I'm sure you have also. And some of you might even see people get up from the dead, and Jesus Christ got up from the dead. You know, those are amazing things. But I've never seen someone do something greater than what God could do. I've never seen anybody make a solar system, a sun, an ocean. I mean, that's a greater work that we'll never do. But we could do greater works than Jesus Christ. I could believe that. But greater works than God, that's not possible. You know, the greater works here is speaking in tongues with interpretation, and helping people get born again. You know, that wasn't available for Jesus Christ when he was walking around on this earth. But it's available for us. We do these greater works. But I don't know. I'm sorry, Noah, you won't be making a solar system, okay? I know. Epic fail. Okay. And Romans 8, verse 34. Word becomes very clear in this area when you understand the difference, the distinction. Romans 8:34 says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." You know, Jesus Christ is not sitting on his own right hand. You know, Jesus Christ is the right hand man of God. He's, you know, this would be very confusing for someone that thought Jesus Christ was God. You know, he'd be sitting on his own hand here. And, all right, I know we looked at all these clear scriptures. Let's look at one unclear subject about this, and that's it. All right, we'll look at one unclear subject about this subject, okay? We're going to go to John 10. And we'll start in verse 23. But I just want to, you know, bring up that biblical research principle. A scripture must be in harmony with all scriptures relating to the subject. Any difficult portions, whether they be words or whether they be verses, must be understood in light of that which is clear. In other words, any difficult portions must be understood in light of that which is clear. You don't just throw out all the clear stuff because you have something that trips you up. You know, it takes time to work the word, and it is available to see the truth and harmonize the unclear stuff, but it just takes a little more time and effort. So let's just clear up one subject here. John 10, verse 23, "And Jesus walked in the temple on Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." And jump to verse 30. "I and my Father are one." Now, you know, I met somebody that believed in the Trinity and tried to teach me that this means Jesus Christ and God are the same. God is God, Jesus Christ is God. They're one. They're the same. That's the controversy with this, with people that don't get to see the truth of God's word in this area. So let's clear it up. So that word one, if you look it up in the Greek here, it means one in concord, one in union. In other words, Jesus Christ and God here, they're one in purpose. And just to clarify this, let's look at a previous usage of this word one in a different example in the Word of God. Let's go to Genesis 11. Okay. And this is at the Tower of Babel. They're about to make the Tower of Babel here. And we're going to focus on that word one. And it says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." In verse 5 it says, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one." You know, they're not... they're one in purpose here. "And they shall have all..." And let me just back that up. "And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one. And they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do." So if you look up this word one, and the root of that Hebrew word means it means to unite, to join oneself together. You know, and think of the United States. If you look up the word united, it means to be agreed, to be in harmony. You know, one in purpose. So let's keep it simple when it comes to God's word. Let's believe what's written, not what, you know, religion teaches. Let's go to the Word for the standard in our lives. God is God, He's Spirit, He is holy, He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they are equally important, they just have different roles, and they are both awesome. God is God, and Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. That's it. Love you.